another day's journey.
This is once again Pastor Angus Fisher coming to you live in living color. We're here at St. Timothy Church, and we're thankful to God that you have chosen to join us today. Amen. I want to say Merry Christmas to you, and those of you who have been with us, you know we've been kind of working our way up to a point here with some messages that we hope to conclude today. Amen. So we do thank God for your attendance, and it is a blessing to be here one more time. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead without any further delay and call your attention. Well, first we'll have a word of prayer. We just thank God for the privilege of prayer. Amen. It's always a wonderful thing to pray and seek the face of the Lord. And we hope that this season hasn't been too stressful for you. It has been kind of different this year, but we do thank God for every privilege and every opportunity. And we know that without Him, we can do nothing. Amen. So it is a blessing, and there is a reason for everything. As it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, there's always a season for all things. Amen. So we should learn to find contentment even in the midst of troublous times. Amen. So I want to recommend that to you just before we have a word of prayer. And I thank God for everything. And I'm just going to bless His name, and we want to encourage you to do that too. Somebody said, have yourself a merry little Christmas. Amen. And I agree. So let us have a word of prayer. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we lift your name up, Father. We give you praise today. Father, there are many, many saints that are listening right now that want to say thank you, Lord, for all your goodness, for all your mercy, for all your kindness, Lord God. And we just thank you for the activity of our limbs and a reasonable portion of health and strength. And Lord, we just ask you to just let us see you in the height and in the width and in the depth of your glory, Lord God. We love you so much, Father, the best we know how. And Father, we want to thank you for every good and perfect gift that you have sent down from above. Father, we want to ask for the forgiveness of sin, that you would forgive us as we need it. We want to ask for healing mercies, Father, because we realize all those things are in your hands. You have the power of all things, oh God, and you have committed it to your Son, Jesus, our Savior. And so, Father, we want you to bless every home, every family, every person that's listening, who is under the sound of my voice. Bless my friends in all the parts of the country. I have some friends down in Texas and in different parts of the world, Colorado, all over, Lord. You know where we all are. And, Father, we ask you to just bless everyone wherever they are, Lord God, right now. Because we know that you are everywhere at all times, and you can do anything but fail. And, Father, we want you to just bless the minds of everybody that's going through turmoil right now, Lord. There's a lot of turmoil in the culture. And, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and we also pray for the peace of America, Lord God, and all the other nations around the world, that this is the time of peace, when you have sent the Prince of Peace, that he might be just to provide healing mercies and grace and everything that we need. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we pray that you let the peace of God that passeth all understanding rule and reign all the way around this world, even though we know that there might be troublous times according to your prophecy. But, Father, we thank you for an understanding. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your provision. We ask that you will provide for somebody today who needs their needs to be met, Lord God. There's a people struggling with all kinds of things. We ask a touch of healing, grace, and mercy on those who need to be healed today, Lord God. And, Father, we ask for coverage, for grief, for those who are mourning today, Lord God. No matter what they're going through, Father, we know you are a very present help in the time of need. And so we need you right now, Lord God, for all of these things. And we ask these all in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the reason for the season. And we give him the praise and the glory. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. And all the saints everywhere said, amen. Go ahead and thank God. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to be able to come and stand in his courts and give him praise. Amen. His courts can be wherever you are. You don't necessarily have to be here. God's courts are all over the world. So no matter where you are, if the Spirit of the Lord is there with you, if you're saved, then God is there with you. And he said he would be there. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. Amen. So we thank God that he is with us. He is not a God who is far off, but he can be with us all at every second in time. Amen. So if you've been with us, we're going to go right ahead now at this point and kind of refresh in case some of you are joining us for the first time in this series. We want you to know that we've been talking about this for a little while. We kind of led up to it today, so I want to just recap a couple of things. We began to talk initially in our series about how God had created man in his own image. And we began in Genesis 1:26, where it says that God created man and said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And he gave man dominion over all the things that he had made on the previous 6 days, all the way back on from that 6 day on back to day one. And so we see there was a little spark of glory in every person. Beloved, today I want you to know you are also made in the image of God. God started that all the way back with Adam. It continues on up to you. So don't let the devil lie to you and tell you that you're not important, because to God you are. He set off a perpetual thing with Adam that each person would be born in his image and in his likeness. And so that's not the physical image we have. We talked about that earlier in the study, and I hope this may provoke you to go back and listen. But it's the spiritual image. We are made in his image because the Bible says God is spirit, and the ones who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth, as Jesus spoke to the woman on the way, at the well in the book of John in the 4th chapter. So we need to worship him in spirit and truth. And I want you to know you are important to God. God loves you just like you are. You may be struggling with situations in your life, but I need you to know today that God loves you just like you are. You were made in the image of God, and the devil can't take that from you. I want you to know that this morning. Hallelujah, as you go into these holiday seasons. Then we talked a little bit in the next session, just so you know, to catch you up with a little brief summary about how God took on the image of man. We said that that message was called the manifestation of God in the image of man. And that's what actually happened on the first Christmas. He kind of did something just a little bit beyond what he did in Genesis 1:26 when he made man in his own image. In the book of Matthew, where we get the account of the birth of Christ, also Luke in the New Testament, we find out that God took on the image of man, and he was manifested in the image of man. And we give you John 1:14 for that, where it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." And what we see there, just to put it in a nutshell, is God becoming flesh through the womb of the Virgin Mary, taking on flesh, living in the world without sin to show us what life should have been like for man who was made in his image, but was marred with sin. And so Jesus comes in 2,020 years ago, born into the world, God in the flesh, in order to show man how we should live, the way we should walk, the way we should talk, the way we should think. And all those things are revealed in the first advent of Christ. And so we talked about that. And then we tied in another thing here, which we said, resurrection of the Messiah is the pattern of the redeemed. Now that's to let you see how important it is that you and I be saved. And I want you to know salvation is a free gift from God. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, as it says in Titus chapter 3, Ephesians 2. We have so much support for that in the scripture that salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So if you're not saved today, you know, the best gift I could possibly give you today would be the gift of salvation. Understand that it is free. It's by God's grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone, according to the scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone, and all of that is for you. So if you're not saved today, we pray you'll trust Christ and receive the gift of God. It's not so much what gifts we give one another as much as it is the gift that God has given to you. And I want you to know today, don't let the devil disqualify you from God's gift. Because God gave it so that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He wants you and I to be saved. The devil wants you to think that there's nothing you could ever do to be right with God. But the truth is, God has given his son to seal the deal for whosoever. God is no respecter of persons. And if you can hear my voice today, you can be saved. All you have to do is trust God. He came all the way out of eternity, seated in glory. And we don't even, can't even express what that looks like. But he certainly came, and he came for you. I need you to know he came for you in order to forgive you of all your sin and of every transgression, that Jesus died on the tree and paid his own life for your life.
And if you believe him today, beloved, that's what God has decreed in the world. God doesn't want it to be a complex system of stuff that you did and didn't do, and he's not going to be calculating salvation on the basis of that. He sent his son, manifested God in the flesh, in order so that you and I can know for sure that we have a right to the tree of life by faith in Jesus the Christ alone. There are no works that you can add to it. Titus 3:5, once again, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So I want you to understand that. It's a relationship with God. We've talked about that in this series also, that eternal life is a working, living, loving relationship between me and you and Almighty God. When we trust in God and have that relationship with him, we receive the favor of God. It's placed upon our life by grace alone, not by works, but by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's where we've gotten so far. We talked about the resurrection, which is the proof that the work that Jesus did was 100% perfect. You know how we know? Because he's the only one defeated death and the grave. Nobody else has that credential at all. One got up out of the grave and declared, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." So this is reason for me and you to trust and believe in him and realize that he fixed the problem of sin. He fixed it. He's the one who satisfied God entirely by himself. There's nothing you and I could ever do. You know why? Because both of us and all of us, let me say, or 10, we have no righteousness that would be acceptable to God apart from his grace through faith in his son, who he allowed to be crucified. The great news is that he had written it down. It had been written in the book all the way from the beginning, and we've been looking at that throughout the study. From the beginning to the end, God had been writing that he would do this. So it's a promise from God, and we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And so that kind of brings us through all the general topics that we have had up to this point. And I hope you've been enjoying this. I've gotten some good feedback from some of you about how you have been enjoying the series. And so we want to thank God for that feedback. Keep it coming. We love it. It helps reinforce us, and it's going to prepare us for this phenomenal new year that's coming up. We're going to have a phenomenal new year. You and I are going to work it out so that many, many, many thousands come to Christ and are saved. And so we're going to work together on that. But I want you to know, beloved, whoever you are, God loves you, and this will be the best Christmas you ever had once you receive God's free gift, the gift of his grace, through faith in his son, Jesus, that he sent. That's what this season is really about. And so I want you to know God has placed a gift in your life, and I have just told you about it in a few words. You know what? God doesn't even want it to be complicated. He didn't want it to be complicated. A lot of, you know, when the complications and confusions come in, and we talked about that too in the series, it comes from man. It comes from the flesh. It comes from the world. It comes from the devil. And people say the news of God is too good to be true. They'll say, "Oh, that's too good to be true." But the fact is, it is true because God has given it, and that's the reason why it's true. He has given the gift of the gospel to the world, and it is the duty and the business and the privilege of the church to share that good news with whosoever. He told us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. God said, "I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world." So God is saying to you, brother and sister, that I'm with you. I'm for you. Doesn't make any difference who's against you. Get on my schedule. Let me into your life. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens for me," God says, "I'm knocking at the door of your heart. Whoever you are, if you just open, let me in. I'm not going to forge my way or force my way into your life. But if you open the door, I will come in and sup with you." He says, "And we'll dine together." In other words, God says, "I want to feed you on knowledge and understanding." You know, that's what good pastors do. He says that in Jeremiah 3:15, that I will give you pastors after my own heart to feed you on knowledge and understanding. So you and I need to be fed, and God wants us to open that door and say, "I'm here, Lord. I come just as I am, Lord. Receive me today, Lord." And God will say, "If you trust my son, Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life, I receive you right now. If you believe I raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." That's the gospel. So God is not trying to make it hard for you, beloved. He wants you to know that I love you and I've done something about the sin problem that you have, and I can fix it. Let me in, let me sit at the table and dine with you. And you dine, you feed off my word, which is bread, manna from heaven. Take my word and take my yoke upon you, Jesus said, Matthew 11:28. And he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know what? The devil has been complicating some of our lives with a bunch of legalism, with a bunch of rituals and a bunch of different things that God has never ordained. And I need you to know today, he loves you just like you are. You may be going through some terrible struggles. There may be some people in the world who would like to cast you down. That's the same thing they were doing when Jesus came. There were people who were outcasts. You all aren't good enough to be up in the temple with us holy folks. That's the way they've always been. There always will be that kind of hypocritical people who are dealing with works righteousness and want to judge you because of behavior that may be in your life. But Jesus went to the very people who were the outcasts. They were scum and the dregs of society, according to the holy people that were up in the temple. You know what? The holy people up in the temple were the ones who crucified Jesus when he came. Think it through. But he went out with the hoi polloi, the lowlights, we would say today. Folks were just average everyday people, tax collectors, people of that sort. And he called fishermen and common everyday folks to come to his side to be saved. The so-called ritzy folks and the religious folks said, oh, look at him, look at the folks he hangs out with, prostitutes and sinners. But the fact is, Jesus said, I came for that kind of people. He said that that those who are sick don't need a physician. You see what I'm saying? That's what he told them. He says, if you're well, you don't need a physician. I come to not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so he came for sinners like me and like you. And if you trust him today, put your hand in his hand, he says you shall be saved. Believe that I have paid the bill. You know what? Nobody will be saved without Jesus the Christ. Not a soul. I don't care how many rituals you do, how many candles you light, or water you sprinkle, that will never get you into the good graces of God. Only one way you can get into the good graces of God. That's by grace. That means his unmerited favor. Through faith. That means trusting him and believing what Jesus has done for you. And that is not of yourself, it's the gift of God. So I'm preaching to you now so that you know God's gift is for you. And I want to talk about that today as we wrap up our Christmas series. I want to talk on the subject of unwrapping the perfect gift. God has a perfect gift that he sent down. You know, James put it this way. He said, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, God, he's talking about there, in whom there is no variableness, he but shadow of turning. In other words, God does not change. He's the same. We talked about that last week. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord your God. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The only reason Israel continued as a nation was the grace of God. Not because they did wonderful works. Obviously, their works were horrible. Just like the works of all these people today who put on a phony religious facade and walk around disqualifying people rather than opening the door of grace. God didn't tell the church, go judge the world. He said, preach the gospel, the good news. That God is for, he's no respecter of persons. There's no big I's and little U's. Whoever you are today, God loves you just the way you are. You know what? I can't change you or fix you. He can. If you trust him, he'll do it. So it doesn't make any difference where you start off. You can start from the very lowest, from the dregs and the scum of the earth, and go on up to the very highest. You know, it's harder to reach the folks up here because they think they have something already. But that's an illusion that they have in their mind because it won't get them right with God. The only way you can be right with God is humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. The scripture says, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead and you shall be saved. It doesn't make any difference where you're starting off. You can start from the pit. He can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. And it doesn't make any difference where you are. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He paid the only price that would satisfy Almighty God with his own blood on the cross after he had done no sin and neither was any deceit found in his mouth. That's according to Peter in writing about Messiah. So I want you to know this gift has been made available for you. It is a perfect gift that comes down from above. God has wrapped it up. You know how he wrapped it? He wrapped it in his word. And I want you to understand that, because he's going to teach you how to unwrap this perfect gift that he has given. How you can go into his word and find out about his mercy. You can go into his word and find out about his grace. You can go into his word and find out how do I sanctify or become sanctified, where an evil wretch can become more righteous. That's what salvation is about. It's a free gift, and we want you to unwrap it, wrap that gift. But it's a perfect gift, because the moment you receive it, that means God has already shown you favor. You're on my Christmas list. I sent my son to you in order for you to be able to be free from sin. And you can unwrap that gift. You know what? It's going to take you all your life to get it fully unwrapped. And you'll be continuing to unwrap it, and it'll continue to yield more and more blessings into your life. That's the way it works. So as we approach Christmas of 2020, let us make preparation to celebrate the greatest gift of all, the manifestation of God's only begotten Son, Jesus, the Messiah, and let us receive and adore Him. That's what this season is about. Receive Jesus and adore Him. Why? Because He is great and greatly to be praised. And so we hope you will do that right now. If you have done that already, you're probably shouting in your living room as you hang up a mistletoe or hang out some decorations in the house. I can just imagine that some of you might be doing that. So we know you already know about it. If you don't know about it, get on board right now. God has a perfect gift for you, and He's given it to you. You know what? It is a gift. That word doron in the Greek means gift. That's what it means. It's free. It's not a gift if you have to pay for it. It's only a gift if you receive it for free. And so I want you to know the gospel is a free gift that God has prepared in the sight of all men for all the nations, everywhere. And that includes you, no matter who you are, no matter what you're dealing with in your life. God says, if you accept my free gift, I accept you. I'm giving you a gift, and you accept, you're accepted. Isn't that awesome? God says, I'm giving you the gift of perfect righteousness. No, nobody else has that gift except God. And God has it for you, beloved. So I want you to know today, He loves you just exactly like you are. And He's given you a perfect gift. And to as many as received Him, it says in the book of John, to them He gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on His name. So what we do as the church is we preach that good news, because we want everybody to hear the good news. Not just the high and mighty, the religious, the folks who think they don't have a problem in the sight of a righteous and holy God, but everybody, no matter who you are. The gospel is universal. It's for every man, woman, boy, and girl. So this is why we say that we want to rejoice in Him, and let us continually learn the joys of unwrapping the perfect gift. God has given a perfect gift. It's been wrapped up in His Word. And we preach it to you freely. You can take it right now. You don't have to unwrap it. Just receive it. Just like when you get a gift. You don't unwrap it right away, but you're thankful that somebody thought about you and gave you a gift. And so that's what this is. The salvation is just like receiving that free gift from God, except this will be the best gift you ever got in the history of your life. Amen. It's the very best thing I ever received, is salvation by grace through faith, and that alone. And that not of myself, as it says in Ephesians 2:9, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we don't have anything to boast about, but you know what? It makes us have a generous spirit. I'm generous with the gift of God. You know, it don't belong to me, it belongs to Him. He gave me the privilege to tell you about it so you can receive it. And so you can unwrap it, learn how to unwrap that gift and find out that it's the best gift you have ever received. So I want you to take a look at a couple of passages in Scripture here today. One is from Isaiah chapter 40. You can locate that. And then I have another, which is from the New Testament book of Titus. Now, these are parts of the Bible you seldom ever hear for a Christmas message. But I want to use them today just to talk about this unwrapping the perfect gift. Notice this, Isaiah 40, verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor, hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel? And who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed to Him the way of understanding? He says, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. And all the nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? Now I want you to understand something today. This verse just speaks volumes to how much stuff people are running around here today. Oh, they're running everywhere, running to and fro, trying to take charge of all this. And they act as though they know more than God, who created it all. This verse kind of just is a mockery of people who have so much stock in the things that God has made, and no stock in the truth. None whatsoever. The nations always look at all the squabble and the scuttlebutt about who has the most and who's got the biggest arsenal, and all these things always have been wars and rumors of wars, like we looked at in Matthew chapter 24 on a previous lesson. And it says here, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? You know the answer to that? Nobody. No, why? Because you don't have what it takes. You lack everything necessary. God has all power and all knowledge and all wisdom, and we cannot counsel him. He cannot be taught by us. Now, we think that's the case. You know, so many of us are so, we know so much here in this world. And knowledge puffs up, Paul says, to the Corinthians, but love edifies. So I want you to know, yes, God knows everything, and nobody has instructed or directed the Spirit of the Lord, nor have they become his counselor or ever taught him anything. God is never surprised, or he doesn't learn anything. You know why? Because he knows everything already. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He has all power, in other words. That's what that word means. And he has all knowledge. There isn't anything you could ever teach him. He knows everything, and then some. There's stuff that we won't even be able to fathom at all. We keep on saying, oh, look what I found over here in the heavens. God made it. And he can tell you exactly how that thing works. You can guess and speculate all you like, and that's all we do. And you know, we've made some advances in science and all that, but science will never replace Almighty God. So that's what you need to understand today. Now notice what it goes on to say, Isaiah 40, verse 14, with whom took he counsel? Who did God counsel with when he was making the heavens and the earth and man in his own image? And had enough wisdom in the past to speak the gospel even before man sinned. And before the devil sinned, God said, I already know what's going to happen. See, he already understood it. So that's part of what's wrapped up in the perfect gift that God wants to give you and me today. And we receive it by faith when we trust him and believe him. He teaches us how to unwrap this perfect gift that he has given. Who taught him in the path of judgment? Who taught God? And taught him knowledge? The answer is no one. It's a rhetorical question. And showed him the way of understanding. Who did that? No one did. You know why? You ought to only trust him, what he has told you. It's okay, go along with science to the degree that it does not contradict what God has said. But understand this, beloved, the deep things and the secret things, it says Deuteronomy 29:29, belong to the Lord your God. But those things which are revealed belong to you and to your sons and children forever. See, so God says, I got some secret things that you don't know about. And so he will reveal what things you and I need because we have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus the Christ. Now notice verse 15, Isaiah 40, 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the scale, some translations say. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. In other words, the nations and all the countries in the world don't even amount to like the dust on a pair of scales. You know what? Nobody dusts the scale. When you go to the store, you just put your stuff in it. The dust on it doesn't add or subtract from the weight of what you're weighing. So it has no value. There may be some dust on there, but when you put your 5 pounds of bananas on there, the needle goes to 5 pounds. The dust really didn't factor into the weight of the bananas. And I use bananas because we live in a world that has gone bananas, and I'm not trying to be funny, although that is a horrible way to look at it. But the fact is, all the nations amount to the dust on the scale. It's very little to be considered in the sight of Almighty God. So the fact is, you and I should look to him, look to the Almighty. We have to live here. God gave the nations time. He gave them authority. They received a wonderful gift. The earth and the heavens are a tremendous gift. God wants man to explore the earth and the heavens. I'm not anti-science, but I'm anti-hogwash, and I'm anti-people against God. Because if you're against God, you are in the wrong, and you need to repent. That's why he said, go preach repentance and preach the gospel, the good news that God has given his only son, and that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But all of the works of the nations around the world, including Israel, will come to naught apart from God. And we need to understand that. He already knows all this. The isles of the sea are a very good thing. Very good. God's not sitting worried about anything going on around the world. Verse 16, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. You can't make another offering to satisfy God as far as the kind of things that people have done and are doing today to present themselves before God. None of it will mean a hill of beans in the day of judgment. So he says, all the nations before him are nothing. They are counted to him less than nothing and in vanity. In other words, all they're doing, all the rigmarole and the scuttlebutt and the wars and the fighting and all the different stuff they're doing is very small to Almighty God. But you know what, beloved? He loves us in the midst of it. He loves you. He loves me. And he gave his son Jesus and has put him in the middle of all the time system of all these nations. People are slowly trying to deny that. That will eventually probably be denied openly in most of the world. Because the scripture even says that. If you start unwrapping the perfect gift, you start to get deeper understanding about how the systems of the world are going. You get knowledge of where they are going. And you get peace that God said, even when you see these things, don't be troubled. That's what Jesus said. And we looked at that in the Olivet Discourse back in Matthew chapter 24 in a previous lesson. He said there will be wars and rumors of wars and deception. We see all of that right now. But see that you be not troubled, for the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence in diverse places. But these are the beginnings of sorrow. So the perfect gift contains the knowledge for you to have peace while the world is being turned around and going crazy about materialism and wealth and power. Those are the big issues with the world. But the fact is, beloved, the Bible says you shall receive power, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And here we are in America preaching the good news. God loves you just like you are. He wants you to receive his perfect gift and begin to unwrap it so you can understand the depths of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And how he raised him out the dead so you don't even have to worry about death. Well, we got a problem with many, many dying this year. This has been one of the worst years for death in the history, really. But mainly, I'm just going to speak to you here in America. I'm told there are over 300,000 who have went to meet their maker. Would you be ready today if you had to go? It's all fixed up by Jesus himself. That's what the resurrection was about. And we talked about that in a previous lesson. How resurrection is what's very important to me and you. And you receive a pass out of death into life once you trust Jesus the Christ to be your personal Savior. God will help you understand the mess that the world is generating and propagating every day. And you'll have a peace that passeth all understanding. John 16, I got to go here one time. Verse 33, Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So he says, you know what, I'm telling you all this in my word so that in me you can have peace. So no matter what's going on, no matter what you see on TV or here on the internet or on social media, Jesus said, I will give you peace, even in the midst of the storm. Isaiah 26, if you stay your mind on him, he will put you in perfect peace. So if you are lacking peace, beloved, please understand Jesus loves you. He has died for you on the cross. He got out of the grave so that you and I don't even have to worry about the problem of death. And he said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. And all the nations are like a drop in the bucket to him. Very little to be concerned. Verse 18, and we close there, Isaiah 40 and 18. To whom will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? And the answer is, there is nobody like him. He loves and he has made this decree that we call Christmas. It's Christmas because he gave his son and he became flesh. God was manifest in the flesh so that you and I can have assurance and certainty that he is for us and not against us. That's what I want you to know today. This Christmas, going to your holidays with a new peace, understanding God loves me and that's why he gave Christ to be my Savior. And that's what the holiday is really about. It's not about Rolexes and Lamborghinis and the kind of stuff people think it's about. It's about grace, God's grace, His unmerited favor through faith in His Son. So Christmas in our time has become misrepresented from its intended purpose. And twisted ideas from the world and the devil have usurped the single beauty of the season, which is really the greatest gift and that the only wise God has planned before the world began to give to the children of men to escalate to the very highest of the glory of Jesus Christ, who we celebrate now and will worship God properly through His gift to us. God gives us the perfect gift so we can worship Him properly. You cannot worship God properly if you skip Jesus. You can't worship Him at all. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." So we want to not skip Jesus. We want to embrace Jesus. And He is the perfect high priest because He perfectly represents man and He perfectly represents God. And so in Christ, the two come together just as it came together when God manifested His image in Adam. And now He became and manifested the image of God in man in Jesus in order to redeem us from the curse of the law and the curse of sin. And that's what you receive when you receive the perfect gift of God's righteousness. So the wisdom of God planned to provide all mankind with a perfect gift that keeps on giving. The more we unwrap it, and in His infinite wisdom, God has laid out the plans for the world, especially Israel, to see the glory of His Son, Jesus, who puts on display for all to see God's great love for all people everywhere. So, you know what? God is not prejudiced. We live in a prejudiced country. We live in a prejudiced world. People hating one another because of the way they look or the way they worship or whatever it is. You know, different reasons why we have prejudices. You live over there in a bad neighborhood and I live over here in the good neighborhood. We have all kinds of prejudices. So many things I have to stop. It's boggles my mind when I start thinking about it. But it's so trivial, it's unbelievable, because you know what? God is no respecter of persons. And you know what? You don't hear the church so much today preaching against prejudice of every stripe. Yeah, we got sectarian this and sectarian that, and this group and that group, and this denomination and that denomination. You know what? God is no respecter of persons. There isn't a person anywhere who has a greater advantage with God than any other person anywhere else. And so the truth is, prejudice is one of the most serious sins that you hear very little people preaching about. I'm talking about it because I want to see it eradicated, and it should not exist in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's no room for it. The Bible, as we unwrap the gift, does not allow room for prejudice, because God says, "Whosoever will, let him come." So every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people will be there, as it says in Revelation, giving glory to Jesus the Christ on that day. John said, "I saw a number that no man can number coming up before His throne of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people." So He says people are coming from every walk of life and every area, coming before Almighty God by grace through faith in Jesus alone, because it's Him who sits upon the throne, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So He is here for everyone. Now I want to close with this. My time is getting away. Let's take a look in the New Testament in the book of Titus, chapter number 1. The Paul's letter to Titus. He writes here in chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior." Now, you say, "Why is that a Christmas verse, Pastor?" Well, I want to let you know, it's an awesome Christmas verse. I was meditating on it, and that's why I say the gift God gives you, you need to unwrap it. You'll keep on unwrapping it all your life to find out about the depth and height and the width and the dimensions and it's immeasurable. Why do you even get words to express how powerful this gift is that God has given you? The gift of grace through faith in His Son, Jesus the Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Beloved, look at this passage quickly as we use up our last minutes here. We have a few minutes left. But he says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle, that means one who is sent of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Do you know if you trust God through Christ, He chose you. You did not choose Him. He elected you. If you believe my voice today, and I'm preaching His word, if you can hear His voice, do not harden your heart. If you have believed His voice, it's because He chose you. He selected you to be saved, to be one of His very own children. And so, if you can hear His voice today, don't harden your heart. Let the Spirit of the Lord come in. Let Jesus into your life. The Bible says, you shall be saved. So I want you to see here that Paul was saying that this is after the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. Moving on, verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, that is that relationship with God that you and I have when we trust Christ. And he says, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's John 17:3. When we come to know God, we have a relationship called eternal life. It doesn't start when you die. It starts right now, when you believe. And it keeps on getting better and better and better and better every day. Death will just be passing through so I can get on through up to where I'm going. I'm going up yonder. Somebody wrote a song. Eventually, we will all go there. Either that or the time will run out, and we don't know when that will be. Because the Bible says that the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall we ever be with the Lord. So we know our destination. We just don't know the full pattern of how we're going to get there. But the truth is, we can rest assured that Jesus has accomplished everything necessary for us to be presented before the Father without a spot or a wrinkle. That's what he said. He said he's preparing his church. He's cleansing his bride by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. As he wrote in Titus, he's cleansing us through his word and through a greater faith that he's given us by hearing his word. So Paul says that this is in the hope of eternal life, which God, notice this, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So before he made anything, he had already planned the gospel, the good news that my son will come and fix the problem when Satan corrupts the world and mankind becomes stained with the stain of sin. God already knew what he would do and how he would fix it. And it was not a surprise to God when this took place. So that's what I want you to know. This is the kind of stuff you learn as you unwrap the gift of God, that he has given you a perfect gift, and it's contained in the words of his book, which he finished long ago and hasn't been altered since, only translated into other languages. But he says, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, keep that in mind, your salvation is based on the promise of God, who cannot lie. It's impossible, Hebrews 6:18 says, for God to lie. It's immutable. His promise is immutable just as he is immutable. In other words, he cannot be changed, neither can that which he has promised. You and I, beloved, are living under the promise of an almighty God who has promised to love you no matter how ugly your life might be. Trust my son, I gave him to wash that ugliness away and cause me not to see it. I can not see it because you're in Christ and his blood has covered you. That's what that's about. Notice what he says here. But hath in due time manifested his word, that's Titus 1:3, through preaching. God wants the word preached. We talked about that. That's what I'm trying to do now. Preach his word so that you can hear it and believe it and have the best Christmas you ever had in your life. Hallelujah. No matter what's going on the stock market or what's going on in the hospital, wherever it is, you can have the greatest Christmas you ever had if you get your mind stayed on Christ. You can have peace even in the midst of the storm. So in due time he has manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Notice that phrase. We'll come back to it. Verse 4, to Titus, my own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, what I want you to see here is that we need grace, we need mercy, and it will give you peace. You will have peace that passeth all understanding once you receive the grace and the mercy of God. And so that has been made available to you for free. The word says, whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So I want you to understand here from this passage that there is equality with God the Father and God the Son. Let's take a look quickly. Titus 1:3, the last part of the verse says God our Savior. Titus 1:4, the last part of the verse says Christ our Savior. And I want you to understand that Christ is God, and they are equal in the Godhead. God the Son is equal to God the Father. And that's necessary because God can't be contaminated with anything that's less than equal to him. And so God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father are equal. And they're both here in the same passage called our Savior, God the Son and God the Father. And so this is understanding that you can get, as I say, as you unwrap this perfect gift that God has given, you can understand more things that are contradicted by all kinds of false religionists in the world, and you can have peace even in the midst of the storm. So Paul is writing these things. That's why I wanted you to see that he talks about the gospel coming out of eternity. It did not surprise God when the image of man was marred by the devil through sin, and God knew the problem already before it happened. He fixed the time and fixed the way through Eve, and we talked about that before the sin hit in Genesis chapter 2, where she would not stain the Messiah, because no woman has ever contributed to the bloodstream of a child in the history of humanity, and that's the truth. And so God prepared that so that his son could be born on Christmas by the Virgin Mary, whom he had prophesied. We unwrap all of this by getting in his word and finding out that these are the things that have been written for generations and generations that have never changed, and they are true, just as true as the rising of the sun, that these things are so. And so we want you to have that faith. But you know what? The people who wrote this could never have had the scientific understanding to write those things that they wrote, and for it to still be true today, even against our so-called high technology and science. But the fact is, they wrote it. Why? Because God, the Holy Spirit, gave them the message from God in order to write it down. And you and I can learn how to unwrap it by grace through faith. And this is a continuous gift. It's the greatest gift I've ever received. And I boast about it all the time. You'll get there too if you haven't gotten there already. I know some of you have already gotten there. You've been there and done that. And you understand that as well. So anyway, let's go ahead and look here. I want you to see that as the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, Christmas is a promise from eternity that has been wrapped in the Bible. The inalterable, indelible, perfect truth of Almighty God to be enjoyed now and into eternity, so that we can all know the love of God as we celebrate unwrapping the perfect gift that God has given. I want to say to you, from me and my family, me and my wife, Merry Christmas. We love you. We hope that you are rejoicing in Christ. We hope that you are taking God up on his gift that he has given you. If you've never done that before, just before we close, I'd like to lead you in a word of prayer. And we pray that you will receive the gift of God. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. We hope that no matter what has happened or how economic things have turned, that you still have peace in your own heart this year, and that this will be about Christ, which is really what it's about, God's perfect gift to you. If you've never received him, I want to pray with you now. Just pray with me silently. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you today, Father, for your word. Father, help us to understand what Jesus did. Father, you have convicted us that we need him. We can't do anything without him. And so, Father, we want to praise you now. Thank you that you came for not just the high and mighty, but you came for everyday common people like me. And today I believe you today, Lord, and I want you to fill me with your spirit, forgive me of all my sin, wash me and cleanse me, lead me and guide me to all truth. Help me to give you all the praise and all the glory, and Father, give me that understanding so I can unwrap that perfect gift which is concealed in your word and revealed through your spirit. Father, bless every home today, every family.
oh God, and every person right now that's praying to invite you into their life, that this will be the best Christmas they ever had, Father God, and we pray your blessings, your grace, your mercy, and your prosperity upon everyone, Lord God. And Father, we ask that you grant repentance to many today, that they might receive the simple gift of your Son that you have given, even though it's the most complex thing we have ever received. It's the simplest thing, and we can take it right now. We have already been prepared just because you have preached the good news, and you cannot lie. So, Father, we accept the truth that we have heard, and we thank you today, God, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Guide us that 2021 will be a fantastic year for us and for our family, that we will be just blessed in this coming year, Father. We give you all the glory and all the praise. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the whole church here together, amen. Go ahead and give God your best praise. Merry Christmas. And we love you, and we hope you love us too. Amen.